Welcome everyone to the Russell Show. I'm your host Russell Chaudhary. Can't wait to jump into this podcast episode. Episode number 163, we have a special guest, Adam Laird. So in this episode, we'll discuss with Adam the topic of leader self-development. So don't forget to subscribe, leave a review on the podcast. Let's dive in.
Hi Adam, thank you so much for joining me this podcast episode. Really appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm very good, Razzle. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine. Thanks for your time to joining me and my audience today. Yeah, we're going to learn a few things from you as well. So before we get to the topic, which is going to be self-development for our team members in our organization. So before that, I'd love to know more about yourself. How did you become a leader yourself, entrepreneur? How has the journey started?
It's a loaded question, but has quite the journey. So my background prior to getting into online business was actually military. Mm-hmm. I'm a 12-year Army Special Operations veteran. So that was all active duty time, deployed multiple times. So I've been in leadership roles since really my mid-20s. I was a very young sergeant leading teams in Afghanistan. Continued on that for another decade or so. And before leaving the service ultimately 4 years ago to start working in this field, predominantly in information marketing or information products is my niche that I work in. And I took on an operations role at a music education company and was able to grow that team I was the fourth hire by the time I left the company. We had 12 people on the team, and I was the director of operations was my role. So I was leading the team and all the day-to-day functions, growing the team. And oddly, the thing I'm most proud of with that was we grew the company. That was great. But I was able to transition my role and to leave really seamlessly. That company is still doing amazing things. Right. And it's a lot of because of the way we were continuously developing our team to be able to step up into new avenues.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great journey. Like even a war zone, Afghanistan came and like different kind of career choice you made, and now you are helping with them leaders and organizations. So let's talk about today's topic, which is like unusual that normally we see like from coaches and consultants. They want to talk about them helping them CEO, helping them founders of the company who are actually running the day-to-day activity. But coming to your point, like you wanted to focus on creating a leaders in the organization who's in the team and develop them as a leader and self-development on them. So how important do you think is it for like to our CEO or like entrepreneur who owns their company, like actually help their team members on their self-development journey?
I think it's one of the most important things we can do as leaders. We are growing organizations, but at the end of the day, we're all in the people business first.
Yeah.
Whether it be our clients, our customers, or our team members themselves. When we build a culture of learning, build a culture of excellence, it's infectious. People want to be around people that are amazing, right? We all know this. It's the reason that people stay with a company. It's never for the money. It's never for the benefits. People stay with the company because of the mission, and because they're empowered to be their best self. So if we can do anything from our side as leaders to foment both those, the mission and empowerment, I see it as a win-win. And what it's led to from my own personal journey, I've had very few people quit on me. I've had very few people leave. It's so hard to hire. It's a pain in the neck. We all know it's not fun and onboarding. If we can take deliberate steps to keep people on and to grow the leaders in our organization, why wouldn't we take some of these very simple steps? And the impact you have on your company is profound.
Yeah, definitely. So what part of like self-development we are talking about like in the organization? Is it like their mindset, or is it like their sales technique, or like being in an organization? Like team member role play, what part of like the self-improvement we are talking about in the organization?
So a lot of times it's very job specific, whatever role they are happening to fill.
Yeah.
So if it's customer service roles or sales roles, having professional opportunities for them to continue leveling up their game, not only externally, so we're bringing in other assets, sending them to courses, things of that nature, but also what are we doing to build things internally?
Yeah.
So like just one example, we had three people that were working on customer service, and it was kind of a fractional role for each of them. None of them were doing it part or full time. But what I established was a weekly customer service team call where they would get together. I appointed one of the people on the team to be the lead. And so we're building those little leadership skills, little tasks. And she went gaga for it, loved it. And they would just get together for 30 minutes a week to talk about emerging issues, things that were working well for them, updates to our playbook. So they were developing each other just by sharing, just by having that space to talk about what they were doing in their job. And if they had any questions of me, anything that they would like to run through me, I would then come in and use that as an opportunity for me to develop them as well. So it was the team themselves were doing their own internal huddles, and then they could always reach out for me to provide some of my insights.
Yeah, that's great. So it's like a different aspect of it, like where the organization needs it. So sometime could be like a mindset, something could be in the customer service, could be in a sales. It depends on like where business actually needs the kind of help. Mm-hmm. So you've been working with like a lot of organization yourself. What do you see like most people need in the organization when it comes to like a leadership training or you come into like self-improvement on their team? What do you see like a lacking in their business?
I think what we are lacking in the more bootstrapped entrepreneur field, if you go to like a much larger corporation, they have career counseling, they have goals, they have these career paths, which are largely stock and not really realistic anyway. But what are we doing to get our team members to look forward, to really develop and be empowered to develop their own career? So one thing that I started doing, which was truly effective, is each month, it started with just me. It ended up becoming more than just me as we developed second tier leadership or mid-tier leadership, I should say. We would meet with all of our team members one-to-one each and every month.
Right.
That meeting was about them, their goals, their aspirations, their feelings about the work. And we would have them create career plans. Like, where do you see yourself going? It wasn't something I was building. I was having them build their own career plans. Because what did that do? That empowered them to start thinking past the 90 days that they were, you know, that 90-day cycle we were in. They're starting to think about their aspirations and how our company fit into their aspirations, or how we could move things about, or how we could maybe progress their role. I've rarely hired someone that a year after they were hired was in the exact same role they were hired into.
Right.
We hire people in for one role. We see what they're truly capable of, where their interests are, what piques their interest.
Yeah.
And we start talking about transitioning and adding things onto their plate. So the call was not about job performance. Those review calls are largely like annual review calls. It's one of the, don't get me started on annual reviews. It's largely worthless. But this call was about positioning them for future growth. And I honestly believe like leaders, we have that responsibility to nurture this, provide feedback, provide tips, or even just ask the right questions to our team members. Like, you can gain so much from a conversation with not actually saying anything, but just asking questions and getting your team to answer it for themselves. It's really powerful when they have that light bulb moment too.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Like in the corporate world, you see like the team member struggles for like they don't know how to go about the certain problems they're having with their personal life, their work life, and they probably don't like the leader, and coming to another leader, like they hesitate and they look for a job rather than solving the problem in the organization could be solved by just communicating, and they don't know how to get there because the leaders on top of them like didn't have that kind of relationship with them, or like it didn't give them kind of comfortableness when someone can just approach you easily and like be open up like the problem they're having right there. So how do we change the kind of culture like where all of the team members will be safe and like they'll be more, you know, how do you say it? More open up like things, like they can go and ask any kind of question they have, could be personal, professional wise, and they can get some advice from the leaders, and then they can like improve on themselves, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's a not a fun answer. like you got to get vulnerable.
Yeah.
You have to be vulnerable to your team. You have to open up. It's so tempting to want to position ourselves as the Superman, the one who's never bothered by anything, the one who is the rock star on the team. And there are times for that.
Yeah.
All fairness, right? But there's times to be vulnerable as well and to share first. Yeah. When team members see you do that, when they see you wearing your emotions on your sleeve, bringing some of your own baggage to the team when you need help, it opens the reciprocal door.
Yeah.
It lets the team know that, oh, okay, I can trust Adam. I can bring this stuff to him. And then when they do bring stuff, like, you got to have no judgment, of course. Like, you just, you know, it's, that's a certain aspect to it from itself, but it all starts with how we're portraying ourselves to the team and what emotions we're portraying. One of my mentors told me that the CEO is the visionary and inspirational leader of the team.
Yeah.
Providing that vision, that big picture, here's where we're going. But the operator, so the role I've been in and really where I specialize in, is the emotional leader of the team. And when you provide that space, that emotional support, like, you create a team that has all that, a big, I call it the big rat, big operator yeah. blanket just wrapped around them. And you create that space. And I never thought I would ever say this phrase and be proud of it back in my military days. But a team member of me once of mine once said, you know, Adam, you created a safe space for me. And like, red-blooded American to see, to be proud of a safe space in 2020 America is like, whoa, come on. But yeah, it's about creating that safe space.
Yeah, like I run my company is like we have like a 16 members. So obviously eventually grown from first at the beginning it was only me. I run a restaurant business. So we had like a 5 team members on a restaurant. So it was like a lot of communication to need it. And we create the kind of culture, like anyone having a problem, we are not like someone is boss, even though I was the boss here, my brother and me, we both was partner and 4 other employees working in the company. So we, at the beginning, like everyone talking about what's going on with their family, what's going on with their personal life and their work life, what they're struggling and everything. So making sure like everyone can be taken care of, even though any kind of issue they come up, like they can share it. And I kept that same philosophy on my new business, my marketing company. Yeah, like anyone have like any kind of problem, they wouldn't hesitate. They wouldn't lie. Like they have to go somewhere, like they don't have to lie to me, like they are sick and then they have to like take a break. And they just can say like, hey, I can't work today, or like I need to take a day off on such and such a day, like then I can figure something out. So we create a such an environment, like where it's safe and they open to any kind of problems they're having, rather than like you have to lie to someone. You know how it's like, and you always be like, oh, if I'm gonna send him a proposal on like my vacation period of this year and he's getting rejected, and that kind of environment they don't want to be in. And when it creates such an environment, when it's open, like, hey, my pay rise need to be looked at, right? And I'm not feeling comfortable. Most people don't do that. They don't even ask their company. They just go straight, look for like a different kind of jobs. Probably if you ask, you probably get raised in this company. Probably they appreciate your work so much and you don't know it until you have a communication. So coming back to you, like you've been a leader yourself in a military space, and also now you're helping leaders and you've seen the organization. How much difference do you see from like coming from military perspective to like a corporate world? Is it similar, or like do you see any difference to it?
It's night and day difference. military is very much a suck it up buttercup,
right?
Like drive on, especially the job I was in. I mean, special operations jobs are just tough. I would equate more, especially I work with small teams, so I don't work with large organizations at this point. I haven't been part of a large organization, but a small team of 12 to 20.
Yeah.
I treat it very much the way we treated things in the team room. So military structures that's broken down into organizations, and the team room where we would, I mean, those were the guys you're deploying with, those who we're working with every day. Like we knew everyone knew everyone's kids' names. Everyone knew everyone's wives' names. You all went out together. You lived together. It was very much a very, very close-knit culture. So I would equate the startup world more with that, where it's more of a brotherhood, brother and sisterhood, I guess.
Yeah.
And if we treat it with that level of trust and what we're trying to build, I think that is really what sets us up for long-term success. Where, this guy might be my boss, but he's my brother, you know, and just that love that comes about that's part of the big difference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like mental pressure is so much, isn't it? Like, you don't know, like, where the next attack will be, or like where you're going to be, and the next order, you have to fulfill it, right? Even though your leader says like shoot, then you have to shoot, no question asked. And when a corporate, obviously, if someone says like do this, then you can give your opinion, right? You have other choices, or you not to do it. So yeah, there is a difference, but actually creates a great leaders when you go actually military and everything. You discipline yourself, which is great. So
it creates great self-discipline. I think if you come into the corporate world with the idea that I could just give an order and everyone follows it, like you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, in civilian world, you know, you need to inspire, you need to lead rather than order.
Yeah. Rather than manager. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the term I would use for it in the corporate world is I don't like doing what I call transactional management.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm walking around telling everything you're supposed to do all day long. I'm giving you direction. Yeah. It doesn't really work in a remote environment anyway, because we don't have the office space.
Yeah.
But rather, I'm always leaning towards how do I transform my staff into being the leaders I know that they're capable of becoming.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Let's say you start to work with me, my company. We have like a six people, probably increasing to 10. What would you do in terms of like bringing value to the company in terms of like self-improvement on for the team? So just giving some example from you, like when you work with your clients, what do you actually do at the beginning?
First thing, like if we were to work together, it's like, let's take a look at the company culture first off.
Right.
Like what is it that's defining the company? How are we living the culture? And any adaptations we can make to the culture to inspire that love of self-learning, that continuous development. It all does start with culture.
Yeah.
And any way that we can reinforce that culture, I would definitely jump on. There are these little tiny strategies that we can use within what we're doing as a company. Just one small example is, how often are we celebrating our wins? How often are we celebrating each other?
You know,
we would start each team call with calling out someone else for being awesome. Like, we created this culture of celebrating each other and calling people out for their good works. So it's infectious, like anything else. When you lead with that, and when you're encouraging that as a leader and not expecting the accolades yourself. I never want the accolades. No, give it to each other. That's what it's for. It builds upon itself, and you start to continue to reinforce the idea of, we can do anything. We are an exceptional organization, and we lean on each other.
Yeah, that's great. So what would be like your goals for next 5 years or 10 years? Like, do you have any vision for your company or your personal life?
I do. So for my company, I think there's a big misunderstanding about what the second in command should be at a growing organization. There's kind of this dichotomy of different terms that are thrown around, whether it's online business manager, integrator, fractional CMO, operator. Like, what is the second in command, and what is the ideal role of that second in command? I'm a firm believer in the operator model, which operators are a unique breed of people, where we do a lot of the tactical work, the actual technician work in the business, but we also have that entrepreneurial mindset. We have that bit of our brain that is entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And if I could change one thing in the next 5 years, it's to lead a movement of operators to grow our businesses and continue to build the next level of leadership under us.
That's great. That's a great vision to have. So Adam is going to end on this podcast. It's been a great discussion with you. So those who's listening, if anyone interested to learn more about you, your company, where is the best place to find you?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's adamliette.com. Since this is audio, adamliette.com. And I do have a podcast there. It's called Smooth Operator, where we talk about all things operations and running your business and the various strategies you can use to bring your company to the next level.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. So I wish you best of luck with your business and your career. And yeah, I hope you have a wonderful day ahead and enjoy the rest of your year.
Likewise, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. So that's a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You got some value from it. And those who's listening, if you're interested to check out Adam and go check his website, and also you can check out his podcast as well. I'm going to put all of the links on the description so you can check out. So until then, I'll talk to you in the next episode. Take care.